107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing that Israel and Hamas have agreed to the first phase of a peace deal that will see all the remaining hostages released. Thousands taking to the streets of Chicago overnight.
No Trump, no ICE, no truth!
They are protesting the arrival of the Texas National Guard as a judge hears arguments today over a request from local and state leaders to block the National Guard deployment. Los Angeles officials have arrested a 29-year-old man on suspicion of starting a fire on New Year's Day that later led to the destructive Palisades blaze. Governor Gavin Newsom hoping this arrest brings peace to the people who live there.
There are a lot of theories, a lot of thoughts, a lot of conspiracies as well out there. And so hopefully this lands some clarity in that respect.
As the government shutdown continues, the IRS now says it could furlough more than 30,000 employees due to a lack of funding. A sixth round of voting failed last night for both Democrat and Republican senators. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for FSIS-inspected ready-to-eat meals produced by Fresh Realm containing riced cauliflower that may be contaminated with listeria. Based on current evidence, the products included in this public health alert are not related to any ongoing outbreak investigations. The products subject to the public health alert are sold by Blue Apron, 13.05-ounce plastic tray packages labeled Dish by Blue Apron Cheesy Chicken Mac with Vegetables with lot codes 25240 and 25247. The product bears establishment number P3081 and sold by Marley Spoon 10.5-ounce packages labeled Balance by Marley Spoon Barbecue Sauce Beef Meatballs with Cheesy Cauliflower with lot code 25255. The product bears establishment number 47718. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an illness should contact a healthcare provider. FSIS is concerned that these products may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Consumers who have purchased these products are urged not to consume them. These products should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin presents Pride and Prejudice Friday through Sunday, October 10th through 12th and 17th through 19th at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Performances will be held Fridays and Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 2. Cost of admission is $15 for adults and $10 for children. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Cubs beat the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3 in Chicago. The Cubs scoring all of their runs in the first inning. Brewers starter Quinn Priester struggled, giving up 3 runs and was pulled after just 39 pitches.
Very frustrated. First inning, the only inning, command wasn't good and stuff wasn't coming out the way, you know, I'd wanted it to, and, you know, everyone else played real well with the exception of myself.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the 25-year-old Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's in his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him.
So Milwaukee still leads the best of five series, 2-1. Game 4 is tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch, 8:08 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons tonight in a preseason matchup. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, and it could get a little breezy at times here as we head into the afternoon. Our high right around 67 today. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could see a few showers late tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high near 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-through like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it normal for a government official to take $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag? Jim Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, where there's one star in their football helmet because that's their average rating on going to the Super Bowl. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
You weren't even going to give me a rim shot for writing that one, were you? Okay.
No. I'm sorry, no.
Producer Parker Olson welcomes us in to get going. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's 6:06. Hopefully another beautiful morning up north. And from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the different platforms that are out there, we appreciate starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Have you lost hope already, or was yesterday just a blip? Apparently you can't sweep the Cubs after all. We keep forgetting they actually did have a pretty decent season, and we have had our moments, and Quinn Priester had his moment yesterday.
Yeah.
That one was rough.
Yeah, I feel for that kid. That was bad.
I do too. We had such a streak of games where the team did well when he was pitching, but his last two starts, not so much. And I don't know the degree to which people, you know, miss Bob Uecker with the Brewers in the postseason, but I felt there was a little bit of Uecker yesterday out there with Priester having a really tough time hitting the strike zone. I could hear Uecker going, ball 4, ball 8.
Ball 8.
Ball 12.
Yeah.
And then giving up a couple of home runs, and he was done after 2/3 of an inning. It was not a lot of pitches either. It was, no. What was it? 39 pitches.
I mean, 39 for an inning, pitches, that's a lot of pitches.
And that's in the top of the first inning, and it just was not working out. And so that made the difference as the Brewers fell to the Cubs 4-3. Now look, the Brewers, they still lead the best of 5 series, 2-1. And so despite missing out on the sweep, they could still take the series tonight at Wrigley Field. And once again, being down here in Dallas, you can't find that stuff. There's all kinds of other things that people would rather watch on their TVs while I was out and about, but I was able to listen to the local radio broadcast through my phone, and then I didn't.
I was just like, that okay, bad, well, huh?
Yeah, we're just going to set this aside and do stuff with the family here, figuring that, you know, again, we'd have tonight, and hopefully I'll actually be home tonight by the time that the game starts, because it's a late game. Tony already had our first comment on YouTube. Cubs suck. Well, it's tough losing to them. Yes. And Roger gets on Facebook to say that rating for the Dallas Cowboys, that's one star too high. Yes, it is. But you got to poke a little fun with them while you can down here in what is still hot Dallas. And I'm telling you, do you remember just a couple of weeks ago how much I was whining that we were
that it was starting to cool off
the chilly weather? And yeah. I'm like, hey, summer needs to last a little longer. And,
yeah. Well, I could use some really good 80 degrees stuff.
Yeah, well, it turns out I was just a little premature is all, because I have artificially extended my summer and I am ready to be done with it. So
what's the temperature looking like down there?
It's going to be 90 plus again down here. And of course, it's just the way the sun hits everything. It just feels a lot hotter, but it's a dry heat, right? So you only feel like you're in an oven.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like a
convection oven when the wind blows just right. But anyway, it's been a nice visit. It will get back, and the Brewers will get back too. Roger notes here in the comment section, the Crew started to chip their way back. They had their chances, and it's true. They're, you know, if Jake Bauer's can connect on his last at bat, if Caleb Durbin actually makes a slide into home, maybe he beats a tag. Yeah. So it was not all on Quinn Priester. It's just that was the scene setter, shall we say?
It was. I went into that game. I don't know if many Brewer fans will admit this, but I went into that game expecting us to lose because, frankly, sweeping the Cubs is just too good to be true.
Yeah. I was not, at all assuming that there was going to be anything like that. These things happen, and you just go for it again tonight. Remember the first couple of games, how Sherry had said
they always come from behind.
Yeah. They always come from behind. And so, when we scored in the top of the first, Sherry's like, oh no, we can't do that. And then sure enough, in the bottom of the first is when Quinn Priester, gave up all that he gave up. And Sherry was like, see, so apparently my wife is much more of a sports predictor than any of the rest of us.
Oh, so she should get into betting.
No, that's not going to happen. Tony tells us that it's 34 in Ashland right now. Roger says it's 36 in Stevens Point. Tony said he had the fireplace going yesterday and loved it. And that is awesome. And in fact, in a little bit, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to tell you about some of the places you could go to see some fall colors and do some fun things around Wisconsin. Sherita Booker is off this week, but we'll go through the list of things that she would normally be talking about otherwise in terms of places that you could go and things that you could do. I'm looking forward to getting back to seeing if the leaves have already fallen there. How much am I going to be raking versus, at some point you get the lawn tractor out and you go, yeah, we're just going to crunch all these up, And then the lawn looks like you're using Kellogg's cornflakes as a fertilizer. But
what could go wrong with that?
It beats raking. I would much rather mow it and blow it than have to rake all that stuff up.
Raking and shoveling are probably the top two terrible yard work things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So if I can avoid that, I'm happy. I'm always happiest when and every house is different depending on how things. What's that?
When you don't have to do hard labor.
Well, yeah, there's always that, but when Mother Nature helps out. And again, depending on how everybody's house is laid out, in our case, if we get a south wind at just the right time of year that just blows all the leaves onto the bank, or a west wind will put them all in the tree line over there, and that'll be fun. But then you get other days, it's just like you cannot catch a break from the wind, and it just piles things up in a way where you got to go get it. But that's home ownership comes with the territory.
There you go.
In some of the other baseball series, the Yankees lose. They're the first team eliminated in the American League Division Series, with Toronto winning last night 5-2. The Detroit Tigers forced a deciding fifth game after beating Seattle 9-3. So Detroit and the Mariners will face off in Seattle Friday night to see who will take on Toronto. In the other National League series, the Phillies, like the Cubs, avoided being eliminated yesterday, beating the Dodgers 8-2. And so tonight, the Dodgers will have the early game, 5:00 Central Time, against Philadelphia. And then the Brewers will have the late game, 8:00 tonight against the Cubs. Parker's not happy about this.
It's just so stupid. Why is the West Coast team the early game?
Why are
game?
They getting a day game? Yeah, I know. All season long, we can't catch those games because they start at 9:00 at night.
Yeah.
And now in the postseason, they decide to have a day game. And so now we have to start at 8:00 at night. I know.
I wonder... I wonder who I should be blaming for that, the league or TV. The networks?
Just TV. I assume just the networks. Yeah. It's all about the money. But it does mean that you can catch the game here on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, with the pregame starting at 7:30 tonight on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Hayward. So, again, some baseball action. Just getting the weekend going, because we got the baseball tonight. We've got high school football on several Civic Media stations coming up, of course, on Friday night. Then on Saturday, you've got the Badgers against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coverage begins, the pregame begins at 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon on some stations across the Civic Media Network. If, heaven forbid, the Cubs win tonight, then the deciding fifth game of the National League Division Series would be back at American Family Field Saturday night, I want to say. So, again, we'll have details tomorrow, but hopefully what we're telling you tomorrow is that the Brewers win tonight, and that'll make a Saturday game unnecessary. And then we get to Sunday, and that, of course, has the Packers back in action after the bye week. They will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon for a 3:25 kickoff for the Packers, getting set to face quarterback Joe Flacco. Again. And no, that's not a mistake. You're not listening to a rerun from a month ago. We're not playing Cleveland again. If you missed it, there was a rare trade inside a division where Cleveland made a trade with Cincinnati and sent Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals, because they've got a couple of banged up quarterbacks. And they confirmed that Joe Flacco will start against Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. And recall that the Browns beat the Packers, and the Packers since then have only played Dallas to a tie and then had a bye week. So they're actually seeing Joe Flacco for the second time in three games, but with a different team. Something you almost never, ever see in the National Football League.
And still in the state of Ohio.
And still in the state of Ohio, too.
Exactly. He's getting passed around the AFC North like crazy. It's really weird.
I know. So we'll see him at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. Again, pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Tony asks, is he bringing Myles Garrett, too? No, then he's not worried. So there you go.
Fair.
Got that figured out. Let's see. So we've got all of your, we got your sports all up to date, right? Did I hit all the high notes, I believe? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
okay. Tomorrow is Friday. We'll hopefully be back at the Lake Wissota studio at that point, and we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Mike Clemens will tell us more about, you know, the Packer game, and also, you know, whatever happens with the Brewers tonight. We'll have our regular week in review panel, and I'm quite confident I will have airline stories as well.
Oh, God.
Fly, yes, later today. And I've now learned that getting to the Dallas airport is just an experience in and of itself. Oh, and did I mention there's construction there, too? No, I didn't mention it. But I didn't really have to. If I mention a big, you know, metropolitan airport and I say construction, you're going to say, well, of course there
duh
is. You
know? Yeah.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you finish all the construction in all the things, and then you start all over again. Which I also noticed at Twin Cities Airport flying out of there. I mean, that gold concourse, the G concourse, doesn't feel like it was, you know, remodeled that terribly long ago. It's all torn up again for another remodeling job.
Like, well, you know, nothing is ever permanent. But
well, especially at airports, I'm like, who gets the cushy gig of deciding, yes, we're about to spend a lot more money to tear this stuff out that we recently put in. And every one of them is getting more and more mall-like, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you kind of forget you're about, and I think it's to make you forget that you're about to be put on the cattle car there, you know,
yeah,
with the little teeny tiny seats and the bumpy ride. And if you're lucky, a tiny bag of pretzels. You know, so prior to that, if they put all these shops in here and all this ambiance, you know, and all this food and drink, you'll forget what awaits you, at least temporarily.
Yeah. You know, I don't travel a ton. I had flown, I think, well, technically twice in my life, one way there, one way back. I could go without the experience of flying and those people.
Yeah. I mean, I have traveled, you know, in you know, in some ways that were very nice, luxurious, but those are rare special occasions.
Yeah.
And again, much like the airports themselves, just seek to remind you that, hey, unless you're paying four digits for your ticket, you're going to be back there in the cattle car. Anyway, more ahead here on this Thursday morning. It's October 9th, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Don Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Don Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Sherita Booker is off, but still plenty of weekend events to tell you about, including the celebration of a Wisconsin governor from the late 1800s in Fort Atkinson this weekend, a former governor remembered as one of the pioneers of dairy farming in Wisconsin. Got that coming up in just a sec, but I haven't even gotten around to telling you what's on the program today, and that includes Congressman Mark Pocan, who will be joining us at 7:35 this morning. Naturally, we'll talk about the government shutdown. We'll also talk about how the congressman is fresh off a new round of town halls. You know, those town halls that allow members of the public to sound off about their distraction or their dissatisfaction over Republicans shutting down the federal government instead of passing a new federal budget. What's notable is that the town halls that Mark Pocan has been doing this week weren't held in his congressional district, the second district. Instead, he was touring the third congressional district since Congressman Derek Van Orden can't be bothered to take questions from the general public. So we've got Mark Pocan coming up at 7:35. And then at 8:35, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki. In part, we'll talk about some new talks at the state capitol and how they're being framed as an effort by both Republicans and Democrats to bridge a long disagreement over who should pay for sites contaminated by those PFAS industrial chemicals. The thing is, there's not really much of a disagreement to bridge. The divide is over whether to protect industrial polluters or not. Republicans say that state laws should exempt people like farmers who spread industrial sludge that was later found to have harmful PFAS. And Democrats agree. You can have exemptions for people like farmers. You just can't word those exemptions in such a broad way that they also lump in the industries that created the chemicals in the first place. So we'll talk to Joe about that and other topics like the 2026 race for governor, which no longer includes State Attorney General Josh Call, but might include former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So we'll have that. We'll talk to Chad Holmes along the way, James Kelly from our Chippewa Falls newsroom. Todd Albo will tell us what's coming up on his program a little later this afternoon as well across the Civic Media Radio Network. So all that is on the way. But first, again, let's tell you some of the things that you could be hitting this weekend as you get to traveling around the state. And I just have to bring Parker into this because I need from him to know which one he would go to if he could. So here we go. We've got in Janesville, the Enchanted Forest and Hollywood Hayride. That's happening through Saturday.
Okay.
In Menominee Falls, there is the Old Falls Oktoberfest German Beer Garden at the Old Falls Village Park. In Two Rivers, there's the 41st Annual Apple Fest. That will be Saturday in Central Park. In Waupaca, they're having the 715 Harvest Fest on Saturday to benefit the Waupaca County Dive and Rescue Team. Saukville has Autumn Farm Days at Pioneer Village on Saturday. Neillsville has their Autumn Harvest Celebration on Saturday at Town Square. In Fond du Lac, they've got the Fondy Falltoberfest and the Wisconsin Great Pumpkin Way Off. That's Saturday at Lakeside Park. Let's see. There, and then up in Cable, there's the Mount Telemark Enduro. So that's where you take your mountain bikes, your trail bikes.
Sure.
And they're basically starting at the top of Mount Telemark, and then you're speeding downhill down this mountain on these dirt paths on your bike, which, I mean, seems like a perfectly good way to take however many hundreds or thousands of dollars you've spent on your bike and, you know, yeah. Crash it into a tree or just tear it all up on the trails. And
that seems like a good watch.
It seems like a very good watch. Although I will... I will admit that, again, if you could go back in time and maybe do some things a little bit differently, that's one of those activities I think I might have actually taken up. Because I never did take up, like, you know, mountain biking or motorbikes, yeah. You know, or anything like that. Kind of wish I had back in the day now. So that one actually looks fun. I mean, right up until the moment, like I said, that you hit the tree. Yeah. But if you can avoid that, it's all real good. There are all kinds of pumpkin fests and events at wineries and marathons. And you can see all this at travelwisconsin.com. Did any one of those stick out for you as where you would go if you
had the wherewithal? I kind of tuned out after the beer garden thing.
We got you there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That got me pretty good.
That's just fine. And then there's one more that I wanted to mention, and that is in Fort Atkinson. And this weekend, they mark Governor Hoard Day. Widely considered the father of the Wisconsin dairy industry, William Dempster Hoard played a prominent role in the development of the School of Agriculture at the University of Wisconsin. And he began the first national dairy magazine in the country. And people are still reading Hoard's Dairyman to this day. And I did not know until putting this segment together that the Hoard and Hoard's Dairyman was William Dempster Hoard, former governor of the state of Wisconsin. Hoard's advocacy of high standards for the dairy industry, his promotion of scientific dairying and farmer education were vital to the growth and development of dairying in Wisconsin. Using his weekly newspaper in Fort Atkinson, Hoard persuaded farmers who were losing money due to poor soil and crop yields to switch from crops to dairy. But then there was controversy. Hoard's time as governor was marked by controversy over the Bennett Law, which required public schools and all private schools to teach in English. And that angered a lot of the German immigrants who had a large parochial school system that was taught in German. So back then, governor's terms were 2 years long instead of 4 years long. And after 2 years, he lost his bid for re-election in 1891. He then became an ally of Robert La Follette Sr. and was involved in creating the progressive faction of the state Republican Party. So in Fort Atkinson this weekend, there will be an annual event to mark Governor Hoard's birthday, as well as mark his Civil War service. So there you go. You get a little bit of Wisconsin history in there, along with some ideas of things that you could be doing for this weekend. All right, we will be back in just a bit for today's history lesson. Stick around for that. It includes Beethoven hitting number one on the pop charts as a disco tune. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE. Make America healthy again. It is a phrase that brought some anxiety to production agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. But now it looks like at least dairy is finding a way to get along with MAHA. More on that next.
Imagine a future where farming fuels the planet. On Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m., join us at UW-Eau Claire's Davies Student Center Dakota Ballroom for the Imagine Lecture, Innovations in Sustainable Agriculture and Energy. Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore will show us how Midwest farmers are turning prairie grass, food waste, and manure into clean energy, building a circular bioeconomy that strengthens rural communities and protects our land. Free and open to the public, come curious and leave inspired.
Greg Dowd is the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He said that dairy is fitting in nicely with the nutrition policy reviews going on through the Trump administration and the Make America Healthy Again movement.
What they are talking about is really an important change in how we feed ourselves as human beings. And the fact that, you know, we've got to get away from all this ultra-processed stuff that we're in. I think everybody kind of agrees with that. It's just a matter of how you define it, and I don't know what that is and what that looks like. And we need to get back to more protein in our diet. But I think for us in dairy, there is this huge recognition that fat in dairy isn't bad for you. It's good for you. It's brain food. It's a critical thing that helps your body function.
Greg Dowd, president, CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He says, while the next round of federal dietary guidelines is still under review, they're optimistic. He said the market's already responding to the Make America Healthy Again movement. Walmart announcing it's removing synthetic food dyes and about 30 other chemical ingredients from its U.S. food brands by January of 2027. And Wisconsin's only cottage cheese plant is expanding to meet skyrocketing demand for high-protein foods.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Dig into Wisconsin's soil where good things grow. That's the theme for this fall's Ag in the Classroom essay contest. And to encourage fourth and fifth grade students to engage, they're holding a virtual author visit on November 5th with Peggy Thomas, author of The Soil in Jackie's Garden. More available on that at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.7 WRCE.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, and it could get a little breezy at times here as we head into the afternoon. Our high right around 67 today. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could see a few showers late tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high near 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is calm, it's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together.
We should be celebrating John Lennon's 85th birthday today. The former Beatle, born this day in 1940, and of course lost way too soon, way back in 1980. Again, John Lennon's birthday today. On his 35th birthday, back in 1975, was born his brother Sean. Sean Lennon is 50 years old today, half brother to Julian Lennon. And on this day in 1965, so that would have been John Lennon's 25th birthday, the Beatles had a number one hit with Yesterday. So a lot of John Lennon connections to this October 9th, starting with his birth on this day in 1940. Also in today's history lesson, this is the anniversary of the birth of Charles Walgreen, an American pharmacist and businessman. I think we all know what business he started.
The Walgreen?
CVS is actually what he founded.
Oh.
No. It actually was Walgreen.
Oh, okay.
Again, he was born this day in 1873. Charles Walgreen passed away in 1939 after giving us a place where we could get our medications, get our photos developed, get all kinds of makeup and hair and personal products you didn't even know you needed. And of course, my favorite part of Walgreens now is the As Seen on TV shelf.
Oh boy.
You ever see that? All the things that you see on the infomercials, and they're right there. And I always stand there and I look at it and I go, maybe I really do need one of those little doohickeys.
Really? And I didn't think that'd be your thoughts.
I think about it, and then I never do. I never
okay,
do.
Okay,
yeah.
That's more like
it. On this day in 1936, Hoover Dam began to generate electricity and transmit it to Los Angeles. So you said you haven't done much traveling, so I'm going to assume Hoover Dam is not on that list of places you've been.
No, I have only been to D.C., basically.
Okay, so. Gotcha. We saw Hoover Dam in 2000. It was either 2000 or early 2001. So it was before the 9/11 attacks, because after that, they stopped giving the tours inside the dam.
Oh.
So I guess theoretically, I'm one of the last people, you know, to have actually gotten the tour inside of Hoover Dam, the hard hat tour.
Yeah. Huh.
Still have the hard hat to prove it. And I mean, it is as mammoth and impressive as you would expect. It's one of those things you still look at, and you do that about, again, the Golden Gate Bridge or a tall building or whatever, but you look at the quick and go, how did somebody design that and build that and have it still, you know, doing what it's doing today so well?
It seems like one of those things that you just kind of can't wrap your head around pure scale of it. Yeah.
Yes. But here's the thing, even though I can't wrap my head around it, I don't deny that it exists, which has always been my frustration with like anything else about science, where people go, oh, well, that's just your opinion that these vaccines work. No, it's actually people who are smarter than me who look into this stuff, you know. So just think of some of that stuff that you can't see, like Hoover Dam, that you can see, and trust the people that stayed in school a couple of weeks longer than you and me. That's all I'm asking. Another musical happy birthday today to Jackson Browne, who is 77 years old today. Jackson Browne, that's his real name. Well, his middle and last name. His birth name is Clyde.
Clyde?
Clyde Browne. Clyde Jackson Browne. And he decided that maybe going with Jackson Browne would be a better way to go.
That's not a bad not a bad decision.
Oh, no. For an alternate point of view, Tony puts on Facebook, do your own research, Pat. Hoover Dam is a lie.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
it's all a hoax.
Jackson Browne was born this day in 1948 in Heidelberg, Germany, where his American serviceman father was stationed at the time. And it reminds me to mention, I hadn't mentioned this yet this week, when I was flying out to Nashville last week before coming to Dallas, I finally downloaded on my phone and started watching the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh.
And it is every bit as good as advertised. I mean, I'm only maybe halfway through the first part. It's a two-part thing.
Sure.
And so I still got a ways to go, but Jackson Browne features prominently in there as one of the, you know, all those young songwriters, you know, back then that were a bit of a fraternity and talking about Billy Joel's early life. And I still can't believe it. It's taken me all these months to finally get around to watching it, but it's going to be a great show watching on the flight home later today too.
What's the, I can't think of what it's called. There's a Beatles. It's not a documentary really. I think it's like they just had cameras running while they were writing songs. I can't think of which ones.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that came out, a year or so ago?
Probably. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and I have started watching that one, and I haven't finished it, so it's on my very long to-do list of things I got to get around to watching.
Yeah.
If you ever hear of the day that I hasten my retirement, it's because my list finally got to a point where I said, that's
running
it,
out of time.
I got to just do that full-time from this point on. Yeah,
there's not enough hours left in the day to watch all of these things.
Yes, a rockumentary, Tony asks on YouTube? No, I wouldn't call it a rockumentary.
Actually, I really like that.
I know.
I'm kind of on board for that one, Pat.
Okay, good deal. Let's see. On this day in 1961, Ray Charles had the number one song in the country.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
Wait, you're telling me that Joe Biden didn't come up with Hit the Road, Jack?
Don't you come back no more.
John Entwistle, bass player for The Who, born this day in 1944, passed away in 2002. Actor Tony Shalhoub with his Madison roots. He is 72 years old today. The popular children's show Thomas the Tank Engine premiered in the UK on this day in 1984. Look, you got that smile like you grew up watching a lot of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Thomas the Train.
That's so sweet. The Fox Broadcasting Company launched as the fourth U.S. television network this day in 1986. Nobody thought it was going to last. You know, everybody was set in their ways. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS. And that's all there ever was, and that's all that there ever would be. And then Fox showed up with, you know, some unusual shows you would normally see on network TV, like The Simpsons, things that were a little more edgy. Some would even say a little more raunchy. They got good ratings. Then they landed the National Football League games for the NFC and truly became a fourth network after that. It enabled them to spin off things like Fox News Channel, Fox Business Channel, and all the other things that have made TV just the wonderfully informative, educational, and good for democracy brand that we've come to expect from Fox.
It's a diverse TV guide.
Yes, put it that way. All right. On this day in 1976, the number one song was by Beethoven. Well, not specifically Beethoven, but Walter Murphy's take on Beethoven's Fifth. So the question becomes, if you could play this for Beethoven, is it the rolling in his grave thing? Like, what have they done to my song? Or would he be like, oh, yeah, I totally see why you did it that way in this day and age, meaning 1976.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Musicians, composers can be a little picky.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like when you take their work and twist it in certain ways. Like I said, maybe others have a different view on it. Anyway, it was done by Walter Murphy and his Big Apple Band. And if Walter Murphy's name sounds familiar, he still does some TV and film composing work. For example, you see his name on the musical credits for Family Guy every week as well. Kurt Newman, the singer-songwriter and guitarist for the Bodines, is 64 years old today, born in Milwaukee. And then Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. So if you were big into Thomas the Tank Engine, Blue's Clues had to be something on the TV, too.
No, I'm not sure I saw any Blue's Clues, actually, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Steve was one of them there. So there you go. Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. Let's see. From the standpoint of the National Day calendar, what did you find on there for us?
Incredibly light day again on the National Day calendar. But you know what? I think we've got one of the best international days of all time. It's International Beer and Pizza Day.
International Beer and Pizza Day.
Yep.
Was this thought up at a bowling alley?
I mean, certainly.
Because those three things go together perfectly. But yeah, beer and pizza day.
Yeah.
I like it. One. That works. It even when we bought our current house 30 years ago, and you know, we were in debt up to here, and you know, we had lawn furniture in there for like the first year because we couldn't afford furniture, but at least we had the house. And when we signed the closing papers at the bank, we had just enough cash on hand to stop at the corner gas station and get, they had slices of pizza and a six pack of beer.
There you go.
So we sat on our back deck of our newly purchased home with beer and pizza and said, well, let's see where this goes from here. And it turned out all right. Little did I realize that it would be marked by International Beer and Pizza Day 30 years later.
There you go.
Not that I'm taking all the work for it. What else do we have on the calendar today?
Yeah, World Sight Day. Pat, as two people with glasses, I think we can appreciate this day.
Oh, so S-I-G-H-T, not
yes,
S-I-T-E.
That day. Yes.
Okay. I do believe sight is important there. Yes, so let's make mention of that. By the way, in a follow-up, we've talked about the various cuts to programs, educational programs, and things like that, including cuts to a program to help with the education of deaf-blind children in Wisconsin. And I just wanted to do a quick follow-up that 1 year's worth of funding has been restored. It's being sent to this particular program, you know, through like a third party, but at least the program won't be ending, at least right away. Something worth noting on this World Sight Day. Anything else on the calendar?
National Curious Events Day.
Tell me more.
Curious Events, I believe it was defined as like a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, yeah.
Have you had any curious events that are worth noting?
Well, I've seen some interesting things. I don't know if I'd call them curious events.
Okay. All right. And have what you do seen we have Bigfoot? From an entertainment news standpoint, or what other little non-hard news stories are you following?
LeBron James, I don't know if you saw this. He had the second decision. The second decision.
Like taking his talents to South Beach, that kind of decision?
Well, he teased it one day, and it kind of, people were going, oh, he might be retiring. Everyone else was like, oh, it's going to be an ad. And sure enough, it was an ad for Hennessy. A fan, though, thought that he was going to be retiring and bought two tickets to what would have been his last game. And now he's suing LeBron for the price of those tickets.
So LeBron teases, oh, I've made this decision.
Yes.
Which he didn't tell people was like a tease for a commercial. He just said, I've made this decision. A fan thinks he's going to retire, buys tickets to the game, what would have been the last game of the season. Yeah. He, of course, doesn't retire. But because this guy got fooled, he's now suing LeBron for the tickets.
For $865.66.
I hope the judge not only rules in favor of LeBron James, but tells this guy he's got to pay court costs of $865.10, because that's just
a little silly.
I know. All right. Still ahead this morning, of course, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Bocan. That's coming up at 7:35, where we will talk about the Trump shutdown here and whether Republicans are showing any signs of restoring some of the health care cuts that they've made earlier this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage,
Grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center. We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
It is our day with community conversation to talk about the Richland School District. And Superintendent Steve Board is in the studio with us for his monthly visit. And he's brought along Sean Josem, Special Ed Director and Pupil Services Director for the Richland District. Good to have you in here, Steve, after a beautiful homecoming last weekend.
Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. It's but, you know, the weather in Wisconsin is very similar to the daily life in a school district, right? You can have 85-degree record-setting temperatures on 1 week, and then you're getting frost warnings the very next week. And things like that can happen throughout the school year as well. Things are going really well, and then things go, you have a few hiccups, and then things go really well again, and it's just kind of the daily life. But it's just what every school district deals with. But it's great to be here, and again, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, your sports teams did really well, and I also want to take a moment to mention how much I enjoyed the band's performance at halftime. That was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's truly remarkable. All of the work, first of all, that goes into the homecoming week in general, between building administrators and all of the, you know, the different dress-up days. And you think, well, it's a dress-up day. How much can that really change the daily life? But it does. It does change how things happen, and does change the energy level of kids and things like that, and the involvement that we have. But also all of the events that are going on, from athletic events. I mean, you've got volleyball matches and soccer games and football and different levels of football. It's not just the Friday night football. It's the lower level football from 7th and 8th grade to, you know, the JV football as well. Our student council at the high school just did a fantastic job. They seemed so organized this year, and that's not to say that the past ones haven't been organized, but this one, this group of students really seemed exceptionally organized. I did not hear of any hiccups per se that happened in terms of all of the different events. And we're talking, I mean, if you look at, I don't know if you got a chance to see the class scores, you know, the class wars that they have throughout the week with all the different events that the four grades get scored on. I mean, there's like 25 different events that are going on. So somebody has to plan each and every one of those events, from the float building to, you know, tug of war to dress up days to class contests, things like that. And I guess I really want to give a shout out to our student council for organizing all of the activities. It went through without a hitch. Our administration was fantastic. And then really to our students, I thought our students as a whole were exceptional in every aspect, from the band performances that you had. Of course, we've got a fantastic band and music program at Richland Center, something that we're truly known for. So it's not just the performances, but all of the work that they're putting in during class. All of the students, I thought, were very energetic this year. I think four or five different adults talked to me during the week and said, you want to know what I think that the difference this year is that students didn't have phones. And so for the first time in several years, our students were engaged in what was going on. They were watching tug of wars. They were cheering for their classmates. They were engaged in the different things as opposed to being buried in their phone. And I know that the students, that was one of their concerns when the cell phone bell-to-bell band kind of came into play, was that they were like, what about homecoming week? We want our phones to be able to take pictures, right? That was their big concern. And I understand that concern, but I think just in talking to adults and watching the culture in the buildings, especially at the high school this year, we truly had kids engaged in what was going on around them. And that was really one of the ultimate goals. And so I don't want to make this into a cell phone issue. But I really, really felt that was a real positive, energetic thing that was brought to our students, because they then brought that positive energy, and then that carried over into all of the different things that happened. Were there a few outside groups or student groups that maybe crossed the line a few times? Yeah, that happens every year, and we try to deal with them to the best of our ability. But I don't want to let a handful of 5, 6, 7 students that maybe took some evening shenanigans a little too far to overshadow how great, you know, 1,200 students in our district really were. And that's a tremendous credit to them, their parents, their families, our teachers, our administrators, and everybody that helped pull off a truly, truly great homecoming week. One of the best that I think I ever remember. And of course, we can't control the weather, but the weather was fantastic. The sporting events were fantastic. The involvement was fantastic. Bonfire, dance, everything was just fantastic. The foundation had the outstanding alumni with Francis Fuzzy Zeller and Philomena Poole. There were more people that attended that event Friday before the football game than I think the last 4 years combined. Just a tremendous turnout, a tremendous crowd for that, and it really felt this year was something special, and I hope that we can continue that.
It was interesting. I had a chance to have a couple of your students on. Kerry Stoltz brought them in last week, a couple of student council members, and I asked him about the cell phone, and they both gave it a thumbs up. They thought it was a good idea, and interesting to hear the student's standpoint.
Yeah,
that they actually,
it's great. The students probably gave the thumbs up behind the microphone where you couldn't really see it. They were probably afraid to put that on the statement. Actually, I've talked to several students, and when I say several, I'm talking about several dozen students, just on their thoughts throughout the school year, and every one of them, without exception, has said, you know what, it really isn't that bad. I wish we could have it at lunch, but it really isn't that bad. And so I walk around the hallways, and I see students with their eyes up, engaged in lessons, and I see them at lunch conversing and talking, and it's really pretty cool to see. It's also cool to see that other schools are starting to follow suit. I know Ryan Lemke and Liz Perkins mentioned that the other conference schools who were a little reluctant to join forces last spring, every one of them now are looking at ways to implement it this year or the start of next year. So I think this is going to be very common practice across the state.
We passed by the third Friday of the month of September and enrollment, and how's it looking?
Yeah, I'll tell you, we're excited about the things that are happening in the Richland School District and the enrollment. And I've made no secrets of it. You know, 4 years ago when I took over the superintendent job, that I just put it right out there that we have an open enrollment out problem. We have a decline in enrollment. We have higher class numbers in our upper classes than students coming in. There just aren't as many school-aged children living in our community anymore. But then we also have this open enrollment out problem where we had 280 students that were living in our community but choosing to go to school elsewhere.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jubilation in both Israel and Gaza. That's the sound in Khan Yunis in Gaza as Israel and Hamas agree to a pause in their two-year war. Hamas agreeing to release the remaining hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli detention. That is phase one of the peace proposal put forth by President Trump. Los Angeles officials announcing the arrest of a man in connection with starting the Palisades fire. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
This suspect is ultimately held accountable. That at least, I think, calms the fear and anxiety that some people felt around what and who was responsible and how this actually occurred.
President Trump's deployment of troops to Illinois at the center of a court hearing today over Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's request to block them from coming. Federal government shutdown grinding into day 9. No public negotiations underway. This is ABC News.